This past week in Trenton featured, for the fallout from the George Washington Bridge scandal, a new investigation how New Jersey spent federal Sandy relief money, and as all that was churning, a new legislature was seated, and Governor Christie delivered his annual State of the State address. Here with her analysis of that address is the Assemblywoman for New Jersey's 24th District. Good morning, Allison McHose.
Good morning.
Just for a background on the State of the State address, is that designed to be... Here's our accomplishments from the past year. Is it a roadmap for the year ahead? Is it supposed to supply answers to questions? Or is it sort of like when you see some of these white papers, an executive summary with details to follow?
It's supposed to be generally an outline of what's coming up in the next year. Generally, also, they usually praise themselves and what they've done in the last year. This speech was a little different because at the start of a second term, you would have thought that there would be more talk of the big picture of what he wants to accomplish in the next 4 years. But he sort of kept it tight, kept it to the immediate, year ahead. And quite frankly, a lot of the ideas that he talked about are things that we've been working on. He just, I think, was trying to press the Democrats who are in control of both houses that, hey, let's get down to these property tax bills that we have on the books. The Senate moved on one. Sheila Oliver wouldn't post it. So now we have new leadership in the Assembly. Vinny Prieto has took over as Speaker. So there may be a different tone going on, and I think it was... The only new thing that I got out of this speech was, of course, the big education proposal.
That means instituting a longer school year, and let me get the. I think I had the
a
exact...
longer school year and a longer school day. This has been studied. Other countries they do this, and I know the city of Los Angeles about 20 years ago. I did a pilot program on this because when I worked for Lynn Cheney at the National Endowment for the Humanities, she was studying that. And, of course, you get arguments on both sides. You get people that say, well, this isn't right. The kids are not going to be able to do after-school activities because they're going to be out too late at night and, extracurricular is important. Then you get people that say, hey, this is a good idea because the teachers, with all the mandates that they're given, they don't actually have time during the day to get to everything. So there's pros and cons. The difficulty with the all year round going away from the agrarian calendar that we've been using is also an argument about, tourism. Well, will that mean that people won't take vacations with their kids? They won't spend money. There are kids that get seasonal jobs, so there's a lot of unanswered questions as to, number one, how can we afford to do this? And number two, what, why, how, when,
With the goal being to improve student outcomes and to boost overall competitiveness with the state versus other states as far as education performance. And surprisingly, the New Jersey Education Association is open to the idea. NJEA President Wendell Steinhauer said that discussion must include educators and parents as well to ensure all concerns are taken into account and should be based on research and evidence.
Yes, and, I think what's happened recently is there have been studies that have said that kids graduating from high schools in New Jersey that go on to college are having to take remedial classes when they get to college. And, that's sort of not a good thing when, we are very proud of our education system and we brag about it all the time. But when statistics come out like that say that kids aren't ready to go to college, that's a major flag for people.
Talking with Assemblywoman Alice McHose, AliceMcHose.com on the web. State House is njledge.state.nj.us, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, while the education idea brought about a surprising response by the NJEA, the point of discussion on pension costs that Christie brought up brought a not surprising response from the Democrats. He's basically saying, look, we got a $1 billion increase in pension liabilities coming up. And those who receive a pension, which for those in the private sector right now is a fairy tale more than it will ever be a reality ever again. But he's saying that those who receive a pension that work for the state and otherwise are going to have to pony up a little extra.
Yeah, this, again, you know, we did pension reform 2 years ago. I think he now wants to take the next step, go a little bit further, and, you know, try to keep costs down. I don't think that, you know, he was saying we don't want to continue to pay in our state share, but he clearly looked at the numbers and realizes that, you know, we're still not out of the woods yet with regard to the pension. And I think that, you know, addressing things like fraud in, you know, disability and even in pension claims, sometimes there are some fraudulent things. And I think that he wants to make sure that we keep it tight and, again, going forward, keep it solvent.
He did address property taxes to a degree. Really, when it came to anything to do with taxes, he basically said, well, just wait for the budget when I bring that to the table, and you'll see what I have in more detail in mind. But he said, quote, in a quote from his speech, we need to have an effort that includes everyone responsible for property taxes, Senate, Assembly, his administration, local government, to provide local government with the authority to run their governments like a business, consolidate, share services, cut duplication, ultimately actually reduce property taxes. We have to consider changes to our tax system in context of our overall budget picture. We'll present some of these choices in February. Now, for the voter and the property owner listening, is it fair to say that they're hearing the same thing over and over and over again? And you look at the status of property taxes in New Jersey, the one list that we're on top of, that's unfortunately is it.
Well, this, again, had to do with the 2% cap and the fact that we never did the additional bills that would have supported the municipalities with the addition of the 2% cap. So this is not a new idea. We need to address this, and clearly, I think, again, it was a message for the Democrats, like, let's go, let's move along here in terms of doing something. I think you hit something on the head. You know, he has the State of the State this week. Next week, he's sworn in for his second term. He'll have a speech then, and then literally, like, 3 weeks later, he'll be doing the budget address. So he's got three major speeches very close together. And I would presume that they're holding out on details with some of this stuff. They'll sort of bring it forward each one of these speeches.
One of the items that the governor hit on that I think everyone, no matter where you are in the state, is eager to see change is the sick time payout program. I mean, we've seen individuals in small towns, see it in Sussex County and all across the state, when they get set to retire, they're handed a five and sometimes a six-figure check because they never took a sick day, never took a personal day, and that stuff stays in the bank. And as Governor pointed out, that's $880 million.
Exactly. And some of these towns were having to bond for this money to make these payouts. And, of course, who does that impact? That impacts the taxpayers. So I think he was pretty clear on, you know, getting to the bottom of that and saying to people, you know, use your sick leave if you're really sick.
And, of course, just to give you a quick overview of what some of the response was from the Democratic side, State President Stephen Sweeney accused the governor of pulling a bait and switch, setting up a false choice between making improvements to education, probably safety, reducing property taxes, or making pension payments. Let's see. Assembly Majority Leader Lou Greenwald said that they're willing to discuss compromise on many issues, but on the pension, there's no room for compromise. And Assembly Speaker Prieto said some of the governor's talking points are difficult for me to understand. This is probably the Democratic quote from the day. We have sent him property tax relief bills, and he's vetoed them. He talks about crime prevention. We have sent him gun bills, and he vetoed those. Speaker Prieto seems to not understand about the gun bills that were sent to the governor weren't really going to address the criminal elements.
No, that's true. And, you know, we certainly have plenty of other bills that will address things. And, you know, and the governor talked about even making improvements to, you know, drug and alcohol treatment facilities in the state of New Jersey, which many times are involved with recidivism on crime. So he wants to keep people out of jail. That helps keep the cost down. Talk about bail reform. Again, not a new issue, but something we need to finish. So overall, I think the tone of it was strong and responsible. And I think he, you know, addressed the situation with his staff right in the beginning. He didn't shy away from that. And he went forward. So overall, I'd give him a pretty good grade for it.
And to share your thoughts on what we talked about here, bring something to her attention you think is worthy. You can do that at AllisonMcHose.com. And to keep on top of whatever it is that the State House has happening under that big gold dome, you can do that at njledge.state.nj.us. She is Assemblywoman for New Jersey's 24th District, Allison McHose. And we'll talk again next week.
Thank you. Have a good Sunday.